Hello and welcome to Planner Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica McWilliams. Behind every planner, there's a person. And behind every person, there's a story. Today, I bring to you Scott. He is the creator and owner of The Art of Planning. His fresh perspective about planning being more than just productivity has really struck a chord with me. Grab your pocket calculators because we get a little geeky in today's episode as we talk about how we view time and even theoretical time and what it has to do with quantum physics. And if this sounds overwhelming, don't worry. We just scratch the surface and make it relate to everyday applications and how we can look back on time, how we can make the most of where we are currently and look forward to our future. His planners can be found at theartofplanning.com. Use Plan Life to get you 20% off any purchase, no minimum. And this will be good until all of 2021. Again, that's Plan Life. Gets you 20% off all through 2021 at The Art of Planning. Here's Scott. Welcome, Scott, to Planner Lifestyle Podcast. I'm so happy that you could join me today and have you exposed a little bit more, I guess, to the planner community. You are a planner, creator, and entrepreneur. So welcome to Planner Lifestyle and the planner community. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Jessica. Glad to be here. I think that being someone fairly new to the planner community, it's great to have an opportunity to talk to you. I know you're plugged in, so glad to do it and glad to share some thoughts with you today.
Many of my guests have been in the business side of things. Some have been more on the consumer side of things and somewhere in between. So it's nice to have this conversation today be sort of geared a little bit more toward a new perspective, a new planner in town, if you will. Please tell my audience what your business name is and what got you attracted to planners in the first place.
Sure. So we are, I say we, but it's really me. We are the Art of Planning. I chose that name because I liked it. I think of something being an art as It's art and practice often go hand in hand. It's an art because we're not trying to necessarily perfect it. We just are trying to consistently practice it and add our own personal touch to it. And that's what I think of when I think of an art. Also, I just like the sound of it. I started this company because I'm someone who's, you say I'm new to the planner community, and I definitely am. But just like a lot of people who start businesses that are a passion for them, I've been a planner my whole life. I mean, I've always tried to think in terms of where I can get the most out of it and get the most enjoyment out of it. And I think that's what planning is for a lot of people. So I started this company in July of 2019. You know, to talk a little bit about how I pivoted to starting my own business, I had a history of working as I was an actuary. I worked in R&D for a while. And those are two very different career choices, even though they're both pretty analytical. In R&D, you kind of are working on your own schedule, or at least I was working for a small aviation security company where we were building baggage handling systems and stuff. They'd really just come to me and say, hey, here's something we want you to look into. How long do you think this will take you? And I kind of just guess and go back to them when I had something. There's a lot of programming, computer stats stuff. So time management was not really a concern, and I wasn't really good at it. I thought about how to maximize things in my own way, but I really had no litmus test of, am I doing a good job or anything? And then going from there to like an actuary type career and working in the insurance industry for the past 7 or 8 years before I started the company, I was just being thrown project after project, and I was sinking. And I realized that I was pretty bad at time management. I had to kind of not only like learn my own techniques of what to do, but I asked a lot of people, higher ups, executives, people who probably weren't used to getting their brains picked. How do you do all this in a day or a week or a month? And some of them would be, yeah, I have no idea. I just do it. Like they just could kind of manage a bunch of stuff in their brain at once. And that definitely wasn't me. And so I tried to pick apart what they did sort of naturally and actually develop a way that people could think about how to best use their time to accomplish goals. And I became way more interested in that than any of the insurance stuff I was doing. So I thought, let me start my own company. I've got kind of an entrepreneurial spirit anyway. So that's where we are right now in 2021.
Yeah. So you took a position in which you gained a skill and then said, hey, if this is important to me, I'm sure it's important to other people. And that is exactly what business does, right? It looks for a solution to solve for people. So they could come to you perhaps and find a platform to kind of manage their time as well. So let me ask you just out of curiosity on the business side, when you got started in the summer of 2019, when you start a planner company, do you actually have to buy a huge stack of planners? Are they like in your garage? You know what I mean? And like, are you shipping them out or is it like a print demand? Like, you don't have to share trade secrets. I'm just saying, I always think about that when people are starting new companies, how much kind of risk you kind of jump into it and put this money up, obviously, for a website, for production and all this kind of other stuff. But how was that for you? Like, did you have to put a lot into it or did you kind of figure out a way to ease in?
Yeah, that's a good question. For one thing, you mentioned putting money into the website and you know, I designed the website myself. It's not great. It's built on the foundation of a well-known website company, you know, one of those Squarespace type things. So, but I did have to actually pay someone for the theartofplanning.com because somebody had it. I mean, this is a whole nother business side that I was new to. And we had to negotiate for, I think it was like months. We negotiated an amount because he wanted like a crazy amount at first. But to answer your question, a lot of smart people start something like this with a Kickstarter where they put up a, you know, a schematic or something and they generate interest in it and they're able to determine how many should I tell the manufacturer to make, and they've actually already been paid some amount by Kickstarter investors, customers, whatever you want to call them. And that's smart. I didn't do that actually. I would have probably if I was starting now, but I just decided on a design. I had a handful of manufacturers that seemed like they were legit, and I picked one that I had a good rapport with. And I just made a bunch and I never actually stored any in my garage or anywhere like locally. I decided early on that I was going to be primarily an Amazon business. And so I had them all shipped to the Amazon warehouse. And even to this day, and a lot of planner companies do this, but even to this day, that's just where they all are. They're all in the Amazon warehouse. Even if someone buys one from my website, there's a handshake happening where it's actually shipped from the Amazon warehouse.
So do you pay Amazon or is that part of like the percent they take for being an Amazon seller? Or do you pay for like that footprint in their warehouse?
Yeah. So depending on how much space you take up in their warehouse, there are some fees. But they're not like, that's a very small consideration. If you're trying to have a business, they actually are pretty reasonable as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. There's a small monthly fee just to be a business on Amazon. And that's like $40 as of right now. But Jeff Bezos just announced he's stepping down. So who knows what's going to happen now, but really where a lot of the money gets taken out and where you talk about like margin and is it even worth me selling this thing? And this is why I actually have to charge, you know, what I'm charging for a planner is that Amazon takes out two fees out of every purchase a customer makes. They take money out for what they call a referral fee. And that's a percentage of the purchase price. So you never see that. And they take out fees that really just roll up into their cost of shipping the item out and, you know, whatever handling they have to do to make that happen, picking it out of their warehouse and stuff like that. And I'm sure that goes to like paying their warehouse folks and everything. So You know, it, when you take into account those fees that come out and the cost of actually the materials, building it, building the product, it all adds up to where like some of these people selling a planner around the same size as mine for less than me, I'm like, how are you doing that? I have to think that you're clearancing these out and you're okay losing money on them, because that's not a way to make any money at all. So yeah, right. Those are the fees.
Or their volume is just,
Well, but I think even with high volume, I mean, like I'm getting, say Amazon takes half and then half of the remaining half goes to materials. Like if I sold 1,000 or 1,000,000, but I'm losing money on every single one, I should probably just go back to working in insurance. So yeah, I'm not sure how other people are doing that. Maybe they're building them themselves. A lot of people don't actually have them shipped out of the Amazon warehouse. They have them in their own homes and or their own office buildings or whatever. And maybe they found a super cheap way that I'm not aware of shipping them out. And they've got their own supply chain structure that I'm not aware of. But yeah, it's I had to learn all this stuff as I was kind of getting started. And I'm still figuring it out, frankly. I mean, this is the first year, I'd say from November of 2020 to now, where I feel like I'm starting to get some traction and finding out what works and what doesn't. And in terms of, you know, charging and profit and fees and all that. So yeah, it's been a process, but I love it. I mean, it's really my first entrepreneurial effort. And I think that everyone should have, even if it's just like a side business and they're keeping their job, I think it's just a great life experience to have.
Now you're inspiring me sitting here. I'm thinking, oh, looking around like, what can I make? But yeah,
I think that's also why I have guests.
So I can live through you, because I got a lot of irons in my own fire. So
I think you're more like hearing me talk. You're like, well, if he can do it, I mean, anyone can.
Anyone can. No. Oh, I do love to see the process and that kind of ingenuity and that growth potential. And I'm really happy that we stumbled across each other. And that's thanks to social media. And you are on Instagram at Art of Planning. Or is it The Art of Planning on Instagram?
It's The Art of Planning. And I've got little periods between each word, because I think just straight The Art of Planning was taken.
Oh, yeah. Just like your name. So I wonder if somebody else had like a whole deal going, because Planner Lifestyle, just Planner Lifestyle, like the Instagram and the name of like the website name are like locked down. Somebody has them, but haven't done anything with them in like 5 years. And I'm thinking, I've sent out emails to this like the web people. It's like not directly to the owner, but it's like this middleman or whatever.
Yeah.
And like every quarter I just send out another email. Like, can I, like, I'm willing to pay a little for it. I mean, this is kind of just like a side hustle slash hobby more than anything. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to be like trying to leverage my house to get this stinking domain name, you know, but I'm thinking like, I almost am at this point, and this is maybe why I'm dramatic and a little anxious. I'm like, are they okay? Like, is this on auto pay? Are they okay? Like, does someone know where they live? Like, oh gosh, I'm sure. Well, but like, why would you? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think I ran into some of that too. I think the Facebook, The Art of Planning on Facebook is taken by nothing. You go, if you do like Facebook / The Art of Planning, it's like, this does not exist, but then it's still taken. And even theartofplanning.com, that, like, as far as I know, that person is not affiliated with the Instagram handle, but that person wasn't doing anything with it other than squatting on it. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned like leveraging your house. Like once we decided on an actual price I was willing to pay that wasn't insane, you do actually go through escrow where the money is sort of like held in this by this third party while you're, it's, I don't know, paperwork. It almost is like buying a house. But another thing that I run into, and maybe you do with Planner Lifestyle, is that the term planner, you know, there's wedding planners, there's party planners, and it really has little to do with what we're doing. And so the art of planning often I find is associated with a wedding planner or a party planner. And I'm just out of luck. So I have to do something close, but not quite.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that you're just branding helps, like having a logo, and the more you're around and stuff, people, oh yeah, like planners, like the art of planning in your planner.
Yeah. And it's also tricky. I don't know if you've run into this when you post something and you like, if you are someone who plans like you do and I do, then you're a planner. But then we're also talking about the physical object planners. And so it's like, how many times did I write the word planner in this? I need to revise, you know.
I can type the word planner so fast because it just is like hashtag planner lifestyle podcast, hashtag planner lifestyle, hashtag planner podcast, planner, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's, I think I can type it faster than my own name now because I don't really type my own name that much as you do hashtags and all of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been kind of taking a break from social media. I don't know. I just wanted to see what life was like without it. Yes, I need to market myself and the podcast, and I do have a lot of friendships and relationships there, but it was kind of interesting to step back. I did it kind of slowly. Like, first I stopped watching people's stories, then, I stopped kind of posting myself, but I would still kind of scroll, and then I just took it off my phone, and I was like, what is life? Okay. You know, just to kind of see, just to kind of detox and be like, can I make eye contact with those around me? Yes, I can. You know, that kind of thing was important to me. And now I kind of miss it. And there are connections and things happening and products come out that I've frankly missed. And I don't know, I think it's just a balance that everyone has to kind of figure out for themselves.
Yeah, I didn't realize that you actually took it off your phone. That's a bold step. I would say I've had a few seasons with Instagram. I mean, when I first started my business, I didn't do much. Like if I posted something weekly and it was usually stupid. It was usually something I thought was funny. And then back in like September, I decided to make more of an effort because I think there are, you know, as a business, there are definitely advantages to networking and getting to know the community. But then in the past couple of months, I got a little burnt out. Like for a while I was posting every day, even on weekends, and not, you know, they were posts I had pre-written, but they were designed to go out on those weekends. And, I kind of got burnt out, and now I'm still trying to maintain once a week.
No, I heard recently that Facebook is the new MySpace, Instagram is the new Facebook, and TikTok is the new Instagram. And that is exactly true for my life because I have taken Facebook and Instagram off my phone. I could change my mind. They could be back on by the time this airs. I don't know. But TikTok, I'm just like here for it. I think people kind of got a little burnt out on the Instagram. Like, yeah, there's a lot of real people there. I consider myself one of them, the kind of real folks. I mean, good lighting helps, right? Like, that's just part of life. But like the whole overblown, overfiltered, my life is perfect. I always get up at 5 a.m., go, go, go. Like this productivity, like everything was like to the max. Like my relationships are to the max. My kids are to the max. My lunch is to the max. It's just like, oh my gosh. And then TikTok, I mean, I'm sure there's definitely avenues of it. And just like anything on the internet, there's better parts of the internet than some other parts, right? And so true for sure. are for apps. But I just found humor again. I was like, these are whatever side of TikTok I'm on was funny. And it helped me get through a lot of this like global drama that we're living through, you know, all these unprecedented events, you know. And it sounds silly or trite to like be so dismissive, but it helped kind of, I don't know, ground myself in some really weird and funny and different type of way. And what was interesting is that a whole new set of expectations are now upon a product, because of course, eventually product placement has worked its way in, right? And I'm for it. I've said before, I'm a capitalist. This is how it works. I'm not a crony capitalist, which is unfortunately what we're under right now as a nation, but a capitalist. I support entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the free market.
It's tricky. So, it's tricky. You hit on a bunch of stuff just now. I mean, for one thing, what you said about Instagram, I think even before that, when you were talking about how Instagram was pushing this idea for a few years now, productivity, everyone's doing everything, you know, maximizing everything and posting pictures of it and posting their workouts, posting their daily routine, whatever. And, you know, us in the planner community, I think we need to be cognizant of the zeitgeist. I mean, there's a backlash right now of that, from that way of thinking that you have to maximize everything. And, you know, part of planning is trying to get the most out of your day. But I think we need to shift to not trying to get the most done, because that is almost a never ending, that's a dead end in my opinion. I mean, just trying to get more and more done every day, and the perfectionism, really trying to perfect your day. I don't think that's what we should be about. We have this idea of like a happier life or a more satisfied life after we accomplish X, Y, and Z, or after we reach this goal. And, you know, there is this idea that you're always just chasing happiness, but there's also another idea there that we're planning because we want to be happy. We're planning for our own well-being. And that's not about trying to maximize every second. That's about trying to get the most satisfaction out of things we want to do and trying to find some satisfaction in the things that we actually don't want to do, but have to do. And if we have that frame of mind when we're planning, I think we can enjoy our days more. I mean, I think that should be a big, one of our goals as planners should be to try to enjoy our day more. And in terms of TikTok, I am still like, I have an account on TikTok, but I have no idea what to do. I've watched some things, but I'm with you. I think it's hilarious. I think it's forced people who have been at the top forever in terms of marketing, celebrity, to, you know, they had to kind of come down and meet the non-celebrities who are now TikTok celebrities and in the goofy stuff they were doing. So it's sort of like knocked a lot of brands and celebrities down a peg, where they're like, what are these guys doing? Oh, I have to do this dance? Okay, I will. Yeah, they're reenacting some play. They're all working together to create this musical of Ratatouille. Okay, I've got to do it too. And it did, in a way, I mean, it's performative, but it really did humanize a lot of these people. And I think anytime you can see that human side of brands and of celebrities, I think that's great. And it's even better that they're all so short. So you can just do it till you're bored and go do something else.
Or in my life, you just keep doing that until the literal blood in your arm is completely drained and numb. And then you're like, wait, what? How did 3 hours just go past?
But I have
a problem.
Well, I think that you've got a phone that seems to have good battery life. So that's one good thing.
You don't know that I'm not crunched over next to my charger. The moment it gets refilled and I can unplug it and go to my other side, that's like joy. But no, it's, I mean, I speak in hyperbole if you haven't caught on already. Yeah. It's just like, that's just I paint three, life. Three hours, so, but yeah.
3 hours is funnier than two. Two is funnier than one. So you say three.
Yeah.
I get it. But I think that you said something else about like TikTok is this idea of it's not, I mean, some of these brands and celebrities are doing it out of necessity because they want to stay relevant. But the stuff they're doing so often is so goofy, it just brings back this feeling of play, like you said, like this feeling of the kind of stuff you might do if you were a kid and you were just bored. And I think as a society, you mentioned capitalism. As a society, mm-hmm. we've just been scared of boredom for so long. We feel like we're wasting our time. And with TikTok, you see sort of the shadows of some of the good stuff that can come out of boredom, like some good ideas, some funny ideas, some ingenuity comes out of boredom. So as planners, you know, mm-hmm. we can take some time to find ways to get satisfaction and well-being out of stuff we both like and don't like. And we can try to etch in some time to be bored and to just not have any actual plans for 30 minutes or an hour if possible, and see where our mind goes. And maybe some creative stuff will come out of that. And it's not this like rote, here's every second of my day planned out. And it's also not this, here are the 20 things you have to do to be successful on Instagram. It's just like, hey, here's some new stuff I'm throwing into the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I like how you said earlier a couple times now, I think that we do have to make time in our life. I guess we don't have to. It's a choice.
No, we don't have to, but it's good.
That we're, but that we can have satisfaction in the things that we want to do, but also trying to push ourselves through some satisfaction of the things that we also need to do, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah.
Said something kind of like that. And that yeah. really caught my ear. I'm like, yeah.
There's mm-hmm. a podcast called 10% Happier that I love. It's hosted by a journalist, ABC journalist named Dan Harris, who had like a nervous breakdown 10 years ago on air during Good Morning America, decided that he needed to do something different in his life. Even though he was successful, he was sort of crushing under the weight of his own expectations. So he got into different things. He got into Buddhism, mindfulness, meditation, all that stuff. And of course, you can love the mindfulness and meditation and leave the Buddha stuff behind if you want. And I don't know where he went with that. But anyway, he hosts his podcast, 10% Happier, and he has great people on who just talk about, and they're geniuses. They're psychologists, they're sociologists, they're theologians, they're musicians, they're whatever.
Just like my show, guys. Just like my show. They're all geniuses, including present company.
Yeah. And the host. And they, talk about yeah, how to extract happiness from life, this life that we all have to live. And you know, even if we're perfectionists and whatever, like part of living has to be finding joy in it. And that includes the stuff you don't want to do, because that stuff is there. There was a recent one, how we can use our you know, sort of time management impulses that we all have if we're planners to try to be a little bit happier, 10% even.
Who at their deathbed is like, well, I wish I worked 50 more hours a week. Like,
yeah.
Do people say that?
I doubt it. There's a old idea in philosophy, is eternal recurrence, and it's the life you've lived up to now and are currently living. If you had to relive that, just ad infinitum, just over and over recurring, mm-hmm. Would you want to? And I think so much goes into that, because if you do have the right perspective on the things you have to do, then you see the value in it. And you would, I mean, most of us, I would say, well, yeah, I would do that again. It's not saying anything that's hard or that you don't like doing, put that aside, but it's saying, you know, are there things that you're like, have you chosen a path that you know isn't you, that if you saw yourself mm-hmm. doing it 20 years from now, you would just say, how the heck did I get stuck doing this? And you know, if just thinking about eternal recurrence in that way makes you make a minor shift or makes you add that side hustle that you hope may result in something more lucrative than just a side hustle, then, you know, it's all good.
Not to get too deep, but have you ever thought about how you view time or anything like that?
I have thought about that. And I think, you know, I had an interest in physics, a non-professional,
an enthusiast. Are you a physics enthusiast?
I would say non-intellectual interest
yeah.
in
yeah.
the concepts. I mean, I can't do any of the equations and the formulas, but you know, the idea of, you know, quantum physics, quantum mechanics, and just even before that, you know, Einstein, who actually wasn't a huge fan of quantum physics, his ideas of relativity and how when our equations got more advanced, we had this need to input time into our physics equations for them to work. But in reality, a lot of these equations, you can actually take time out of it, and you can still find a way to make physics work in our universe in a way that you think, oh, so time is just a, like you said, it's a construct. It's to make comprehending things easier for us human. We're just seeing the degradation of things and entropy, and things start to fail and get old and weather away and erode. All of those people wrap up into this idea of time, but it's really physical what's happening. And so how you conceptualize time can be completely separate from the physical, what's really happening in the world, and whatever makes sense to you. That idea that you mentioned of the the seasons, like when I was first designing my planner early on, I had all these, I would say, inventive ideas about how I wanted the time blocking to look. But for utility's sake, I just thought, you know, my pages are rectangular. It would make sense for me to find a way to convey time in a way that maximizes the space. That's really where I ended up at. But this circular idea of, you know, because a lot of clocks are circular, the world, you know, our planet is circular. We think of seasons and time passing as cyclical in a way, because the seasons change, but it's always the same seasons every year. So circular in a lot of ways makes sense as a way to conceptualize time. And so I think it's all interesting, whatever works for you. For me, if I'm drawing out my day in a time blocking way, where I say, so this part of my day is this time, like you were saying, as a mom of four, and you're homeschooling, like you've got some set things every day that your schedule is that way every day. And within that schedule, within those blocks, yes, things are probably different every day, but that period of time is still devoted to that activity or whatever. Mm-hmm. And when I'm doing my own personal time blocking on like a free notes page or something, it does take on a circular approach, because it's almost like a pie chart. Like this proportion of my day is this thing. Yeah, I would love to explore that more in future plannings, future planner mm-hmm. products, because I don't think by any means we've perfected it with what I've got now in my in our week views, sort of our appointment 30-minute by 30-minute blocking format that we've adopted.
But there's the rub, right? You can't be all things to all people.
Exactly.
You know, and yeah, for all the messaging yeah, we hear of like, we need to, you know, be open and be everything to everyone. And then on the other hand, we're like, niche down, be very specific in your ideal customer avatar. Blah, blah, blah. And you're like, I can't be everything. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that speaks to sort of the difference between, you know, what kind of company are you? I mean, for us, the Art of Planning, we put out a physical paper planner that is it's a bound hardcover faux leather book that you purchase and you have it, and you're not printing out additional pages for it. It's just it's a lay flat bound sewn book. So we can't be everything to everyone, because we're only putting out limited actual physical items. And that's where those Etsy stores can really closer approach this everything to everyone idea, because you can really just design at your whim and sell the PDF to the customer. And so you want to design 20 different planner types, go for it. And that's not what we're doing at the Art of Planning. We think what we've come up with is useful for everyone.
Do you ever see the Art of Planning changing it up a little bit? Do you take customer feedback?
Oh,
do you think
God.
You'll niche down?
Yeah.
I have some.
I would openly welcome your feedback. That's one of the things that I think sets us apart. Like I'm not in the room with other planning companies, mm-hmm. so I can't say this definitively. I would say that, you know, that from the day we started selling, and, you know, most of our sales are on Amazon, although you can get them on our website and through our Instagram shop. I reached out to each and every customer until that number became too large. I reached out to each and every customer and they don't all respond by any means. And a lot of people are just set to not even accept messages that come from Amazon, and which I fully understand. And I did that too before I became a seller myself. But we reached out to every single customer and asked them 6 questions to get feedback from them. First, our question was just like, is there anything you'd change about it? And then after about a year, we were able to narrow it down to 5 or 6 features that we noticed, you know, oh, we're getting some varying feedback from customers, some like this, some like this. So let's narrow the focus down in our questioning so that customers don't have to really pull from the air, mm-hmm. and they can actually get a selection of sort of a multiple choice and say, yeah, I like that now that you mention it, or no, actually, now that you mention it, I hope you don't make this change. One of the things that I think makes us different is that we have changed our planner over the years specifically based on what we think our customers want. And I say our customers because I don't think our customers are every company's customers. Mm-hmm. I think we have a specific customer base of people who want, like what you said earlier, they want something more than a bullet journal because they don't want to draw out all the grid lines and everything all the time. But they don't want something so prompt intensive that takes up all the space in an 8x5 planner. They want a lot of freedom, but they want some bounds around that freedom.
Yeah. One thing that's unique to your planner, so there's like abbreviations for all these.
A few months ago, one of my Amazon listings had a question. It was like, is this WOP something?
Yeah.
And I was like, what does this stuff? So I had to look it up. And, you know, like I said earlier in the podcast, I'm learning from the planning community every day. So, yep, I know some of those now.
Yes, exactly. So, but what I haven't seen is a week on 2 pages twice back to back, which is fantastic. I think that would be the highlight of this planner for me if I were one to need an hourly schedule. So you have an hourly week on 2 pages. And then right after, you have that same exact calendar week, which is also a week on 2 pages. But it's, I guess you would say, horizontal format with no lines or times or blocks, basically just note rectangles, right? And
right.
So you can kind of flip very easily back and forth between like a meeting, and then if you want to expand on that, you can. Or if you wanted to just keep your schedule on the numbered side, if you will, and then just do like a lettering of the day on the next one, or a funny quote your kid said, or use this for more artistic stickers, or even just take notes on the address of the place you need to go. I have not seen that. Of course, I don't see it all. I'm not a heavy consumer in this community. One of the reasons I have guests on is so I can kind of live vicariously. So I'll say, what are you using? What are you doing? Versus going out and shelling out my own coin. I love to support people in the community. But as you can imagine, I hear a lot about a lot of different planners. And as not really a planner reviewer myself, like there is Amanda's Favorites on YouTube. Might want to reach out to her. She reviews planners. I mean, you kind of have to open yourself up to, you know, all these opinions are my own. And she really tells the opinions. But it gives a way to flip through. Not being that myself, if you don't mind me doing some other feedback for me personally, and I might not be your ideal customer, is as a parent, having the weekend, and this is the hard part about any planner design, having the weekend so small isn't ideal for those who are family managers, because that is often when a lot of coordination happens, especially if you have public school kids. Your kids are at school most Monday through Friday, right? So you might have your own stuff going on. But as soon as Saturday and Sunday come, you have sports, you have dance, you have music, you have a baby shower, you have this, and maybe more people to juggle. And so that's kind of the crux of every designer is, are you doing like a typical work week or are we doing like family stuff, or if you work the weekend, let's say you're a surgeon and you do, or a nurse and you do like every triple third weekend or whatever. So that's kind of the rub with the weekends. I don't think, I don't know what the ideal solution is for that. You know what I mean? Because how would you fit it?
Yeah, I think the challenge is, and I've seen it with other planners too, and I've gotten that feedback. Mm-hmm. In a perfect world, I would have them all be the same size. My perfect planner would be the exact planner we've designed, but Saturday and Sunday are just as wide as Monday through mm-hmm. Friday. You know, some options are, and I've gotten feedback that implies that this wouldn't be a terrible idea, is we put out a larger format option, like an 8.5 mm-hmm. by 11 or something like that. And then, you know, really it's fair game. We can expand whatever sections are we feel like it's worth doing.
Have you thought about 7x9?
I have not thought about 7x9, actually. I've thought about, and I really, you know, I haven't even asked. That might be something to consider.
Yeah, it's kind of middle of the road because it can kind of still fit on your desk well. It doesn't travel as well. Like if you're looking at sort of that mid-range size, and 7x9 is not the exact dimensions because they're all like 6 7/8 by whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But there are a lot of mainstream bigger planner companies of that mid-size range. And so you may, you know, throw your hat in and be like, here's a, you know, not to say that you're like their direct competitor because you have a different, you know, ideal customer perhaps, but then people who have sticker collections, to bring it back to that, may be able to adapt to a certain layout that you're offering without feeling like they have to start all over, perhaps. But I think you're on the right track asking for feedback. You know what? You've done that, it sounds like, your whole career. Because if you were in research and development and insurance and you're asking those around you questions and you're a question asker, you've seen that work well for you. And so I encourage you to keep asking questions. Go for it. I think it's amazing. I just love to see ingenuity. Oh my gosh, this was our first planner. Look at it now. I know, and then you look back and you're like, wow.
In my experience, the way to do it is to be aware of everything that's happening around you. Like, yes, go forward for sure. But see that person to your left or right that's doing something a little differently. If they seem to be getting greater success, or they seem to be, they've approached it in a way that you hadn't considered, you know, maybe ask yourself why they're getting success, you aren't, why they've approached it that way. Because I think one thing we've learned over the years, if we're, you know, reflective, is that our sort of natural instinct to do this or that may not always be correct, even though it's what we would naturally gravitate toward. It's actually not 100% true that the thing that your gut or instinct tells you is the right way to go. So ask questions, because their gut or instinct told them something else. And not only have I, like you said, seen where asking questions has expanded my, I guess, my horizons and allowed me to think about things differently. The opposite has also been true. So I've also learned from when I didn't ask questions and failed horribly, because I thought I knew what the way to do something, and it turns out I was wrong. I was in the huge minority at a time that I needed to be in the majority. So I've succeeded by doing that, and I've also failed by not doing that. So I think that's really just the way to keep making progress at whatever it is you're doing.
What you're talking about is wisdom, right? And that's where you get to be around our age. Can I say that? I'm 41. I'm around your age. You're in your 30s, but whatever.
Yeah. We're super wise.
You know, and our parents are like rolling their eyes, like, really, you're still babies. But and even though we might feel like we're young, we're not.
It's crazy how that happens. You know, like when I was a kid, I'd watch these sitcoms where Like that was the joke. Like someone who was old to me, like 40, made some comment that made it sound like they still feel young. And I would just say, how? Like, you're really old. And I now I'm 39 and I feel like I did when I was, I feel like I did when I was in my 20s, but my hope is that I don't think exactly like that. Like, I'm more open-minded and, you know, that wisdom thing, I've seen enough to not make the same mistakes twice, hopefully. And I think that's another great thing about planning, honestly, is, you know, our motto of review, reflect, relax. And you mentioned like a memory keeping book that a lot of people use their planners for. I think memory planner is actually a term that I came across recently that I thought, okay, so that's, yeah, like you would keep two if you wanted to have one specifically for things that have already happened, because like, obviously your prospective planner can't be that. I think wisdom comes, I think planning helps you acquire that wisdom, because it's not just lost in one ear out the other, like lost to the ether. If the more you're sort of, I guess, tracking your own behavior, I don't want to say tracking like in this like Silicon Valley kind of way, but in a paper planner, you're sort of tracking what matters to you because you're applying ink to that paper and time. It's not just you're typing a million characters. You actually had to put in the time and write that in that little space. And so you're tracking what matters to you. You're tracking how that went. Did it go well? Did it go right? Can you, you know, call an audible next time and do something a little differently? And I think planning helps you acquire wisdom in that way. And you can look back and say, I've really learned a lot. And even in this year, even in 2020, you can look back. If you bought a planner in 2020, that was a valuable purchase for you, because you can hopefully look back and say, there are a few things I'd do differently, and there are a few things that I learned the exactly correct way to do to maximize my success.
And for me, that was baked banana bread.
That's great. So I guess, was baked banana bread one of the trends? Because I know like sourdough
Banana bread was, okay. I don't know, in the Midwest. I mean, a lot of us make it anyway. Like, my neighbor is giving me one like once a season at least, but I got to give one back to her.
If you accidentally combine those, that'd be a problem. Sour, like, I don't know if you remember the episode of Friends where Rachel's making the dessert and she accidentally puts meat in it. This is a Thanksgiving episode. My wife watches all of them. We have to watch all of them on Thanksgiving. But so I guess like two things separate are delicious. Combined, not always so delicious.
Wisdom. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it. Wisdom. Don't put meat in your dessert. That's my signing off with word of wisdom.
That'll be your quote on Instagram. Scott says. Yeah. The representative of Art of Planning. That's a fun tradition, though, too. Talk about being cyclical in your seasons, you know, doing replaying some of those treasured moments of your life or things that you enjoy on holidays. I don't know. It provides a lot of stability in some ways, so, and fun and anticipation and all that kind of stuff. And would you like to share anything before you go? Can you share your website? You mentioned it a few times, but what actually is your web address? And could you also share your promo code with my listeners if they would like to get one of your planners?
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is theartofplanning.com. Where I think my website's useful is that on the website, you can learn a little more about the company. You can learn a little more about me, what brought me to found The Art of Planning and sort of our philosophy. You can see some product images, and you can also see some tutorials for how to best use some of those stickers we talked about earlier. On Amazon, you can find us on, we have an Amazon store, amazon.com/theartofplanning. And I think also if you just search The Art of Planning Planner, I think we come up. We have an undated and a dated version. Oh, so, and for the promo code, Plan Life. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I told
plan
you, right?
Life.
So Plan Life gets you 20% off anything. We're going to make that true for all of 2021, because I'm not sure when the listeners will be listening to this. So anytime this year, you can get a planner and you'll get 20% off. And there's no minimum or maximum quantity either. So if you want to buy two, if you want to buy a prospective planner, but you also want one for as a memory planner or whatever, you can do that.
And they're pretty reasonable to start with. So check it out if you're looking for a planner that you just kind of want to even just play with, or like you said, have a second one just for memory keeping or whatever. You can really, it's a low entry point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've gotten some feedback recently because, you know, it was really just earlier this year that earlier in 2021, I should say, that I decided to be a little more active on Instagram. And so I've gotten, sort of unsolicited, but very welcome feedback from people. Whereas before I was always just, I was reaching out to Amazon customers and it was a very me to them pathway to communication. But the Instagram feedback I've gotten, they would say, well, you know, because they're planner enthusiasts, they've said, yeah, I bought it just to, you know, see how it fit. Like I didn't, you know, the feedback I got earlier on was, this is exactly what I've been looking for. And I love that.
Right.
But more recently, I've also gotten a lot of, I bought it just because I've got a stack and I wanted to see how it fit. Mm-hmm. And with planner enthusiasts, you get some of that too. And so, like you said, it's a pretty low entry fee for just if you're curious about it, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Well, thanks for your promo code and thanks for your time, Scott. It's fantastic to talk about. I mean, who knew we were going to talk about like physics and our concepts of time? Like that was really serious. I tend to be either really deep or really just giddy and funny. So I think we had a little bit of both today, and I hope you enjoyed being a guest. It was a pleasure to have you, and I look forward to seeing you in the planner community.
Yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed it and look forward to hearing future episodes to come.
Awesome. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining me as we wrap up season 3 of the Planner Lifestyle Podcast. If you haven't subscribed already, go ahead and do so now because I have season 4 coming up. Season 4 will be a little different, featuring shorter and more solo episodes. So make sure to hit notifications or whatever you need to do on your podcast app to find out when I launch a new show. I look forward to having you along as I reach for that episode 100, which is a handful of episodes away, two handfuls of episodes away. And I'm happy to have you along as I reach for that goal. Till next time. Bye-bye.